Chapter 1. Trace. Even to Trace, the source of his anxiety was ridiculous. Teresa's little black dress. The one she'd had to shimmy and cram her voluptuous body into. The one she'd worn when they dated because it drove him crazy. The dress that made infrequent cameos after they married. The dress that disappeared into retirement in the wilderness of her overstuffed closet a year after that. Until a week ago. She'd worn the dress when she went out with her friends last Saturday. It was the dress she wore now as she primped herself for the company party while humming Love Shack so loudly he could hear it from across the hall. It was a party she didn't need to look so good for. Trace shoved the nagging thoughts away. Before him, on a worn card table, awaited mounds of puzzle pieces. Something about a 1,000-piece puzzle silenced the dark ruminations shooting suffocating tendrils through his mind. Whether trying to forget the horrible scenes of war or the stress of college, a pile of nearly indistinguishable puzzle pieces could drown out his anxieties and sometimes manage to shut them up altogether. In a well-worn procedure, he scanned for and separated out the edge pieces, tossing those that belonged with one another in coordinated piles around the blue tabletop. In the mindless tedium of sorting and testing, rejecting and connecting, came peace. Teresa, his wife of 3 years, thought him crazy sometimes. She called him OCD, but he wouldn't admit to her that finishing a puzzle felt like an obsessive need. She griped about the card table's trashy presence in the color-coordinated, expensively furnished home she'd paid for. As a concession, he dragged his puzzle operation into his cramped office and shut the door. But this Friday evening, the tedious drudgery of the puzzle failed him. What plagued him demanded an audience, and no quagmire of puzzle pieces could stifle that need. The company party had come. He got to go. Had to go. Teresa worked as a paralegal at Gutra and Hudgens law offices. They held a biannual bash at one of the principal partners' opulent homes or at some resort, spouses invited. He and Teresa had attended together each year since they'd married. This would be their sixth. The first at Elion Gutra's place. Since employees high and low on the org chart could attend, the soiree often felt like an uncomfortable mix of high society snobbery and frat house romp. Teresa kept her bearings in both seas. Trace felt like an island in the middle, hoping the sky wouldn't cloud up.
"Ready,"
she announced enthusiastically from the doorway, startling him. He turned and took her in. Teresa's mother was Hispanic, her father Caucasian, the mix producing a stunning woman. Curves, curly dark hair, smoldering dark complexion, big beautiful eyes the color of cocoa. And all of that shoved into a dress too far up her leg and too far down her chest. His guy friends never missed an opportunity to remind him of his good luck. His parents warned him that if he ever screwed up his marriage, they would kill him. Her friends told him he didn't deserve her. Every guy he knew, his brother included, flirted with her mercilessly. Before their marriage, it felt like a competition he was winning, a competition he had won. After they married, that same flirting, which he thought would go extinct by the exact same people who should have known better, wore on him. He knew that every man with a crazy beautiful wife had to endure the long glances and boyish smiles of other men, but when she returned some of those glances and smiles, he found himself grinding his teeth. As Trace admired Teresa's sexy pose at the doorway, his natural feelings of desire stalled, a nauseating worry rising in their place.
"You okay, Trace?"
she asked, face registering a pale stain of concern.
"I'll just go alone if you want. I know you hate these things."
He tossed the puzzle pieces in his fist to the table and stood. "Wouldn't miss it."
"Really, babe. If you don't want to go, I can wing it without you tonight."
He pushed past her and made for the garage. She continued her attempts to dissuade him until he cranked the engine on her nice black Acura and put it in reverse. She didn't understand that every argument she produced against his going only persuaded him that he must go. And if her arguments didn't do the trick, the nervous foot bouncing off her crossed, slender legs, and her alternately agitated and anticipatory expressions nailed his resolve home. He had to go to this party, dread of lawyers be damned. The destination was 15 minutes away. After a quick drive on a state highway, they turned down a small county lane leading into the wilderness. The dense foliage of Missouri woods hovered over the road, dimming the light of the late summer evening.
"Are you even going the speed limit?" Teresa asked.
He wasn't. The humming of the smooth six-cylinder engine and the pop melodies on the radio filled the void in their muted, inconsequential conversation as they neared their swanky destination. Ilion Gutra, the founder of Gutra and Hudgens, lived in a lakeside mansion in the wooded hills, a mansion now full of people with law degrees. To alleviate the gnawing anxiety twisting his gut, Trace focused on the winding drive. To his right, the sparkling waters of the lake tantalized him, emerging and disappearing from view between the trees. Boats played on the sunset shimmer, the blue expanse embraced by a wall of thriving trees. Trace wished he could be alone with her out on the water, just the two of them. All Teresa could say was,
"Almost there."
Enormous oaks and hickories nearly obscured Ilion's house from the road, but the red brick wall and golden address plaque confirmed they had arrived. Trace slowed and parked on the street by the low brick wall that encircled the property. The cobbled circular drive directly in front of the house was filled with a mix of expensive and affordable cars that foreshadowed the composition of the guests inside. Teresa popped out of the Acura without waiting for him to open the door for her.
"Let's go. We're late."
He trailed her to the massive door he suspected was designed to belittle solicitors. After they stopped on the porch, Teresa reached over and loosened his red tie, undoing the top button of his light blue shirt.
"You need to relax, Trace. You look like you're going to a job interview."
He smiled weakly. She looked like someone else's wife. She belonged in Ilion's sumptuous home constructed almost entirely of glass panels as if to say, "Look inside, everyone. All my stuff is better than your stuff." Trace came from a blue-collar military family where practicality and efficiency ruled the roost. Every time his father passed a house like Ilion Gutra's, he would say with a hint of disparagement, "I bet it costs a fortune to heat that place in the winter." Trace and his brother Brandon would respond, "They can afford it, Dad." Trace grasped the tooled copper knob and pushed it open, feeling like a dwarf entering a giant's lair. Not even the hint of a squeak. It swung inward in a stately fashion, and Teresa dove inside. The landing immediately forced one to go up or down. Everyone seemed to be up, and Teresa climbed the stairs while he heaved the door shut. A chorus of "Teresa" rose and fell. Too many bass voices in the choir for Trace's liking. Sucking in a lungful of air, he braced himself. Not 4 years ago, he'd been a Marine in a brutal firefight on an Afghani street. He had run headlong into it. Somehow, ascending the stairs in front of him now would have seemed more manageable if terrorists and insurgents waited at the top. As it was, just out of sight over the lip of the last stair, lounged a bunch of lawyer types. People who pulled words out of parts of the English language he had never visited or ever hoped to. Gutra, Hudgens, and their associates seemed like a bunch of golf club buddies. Probably were. They had bright eyes and suave grins for the young ladies, but their caked makeup plastic surgery wives had eyes on them. Teresa would tell Trace about her boss's seduction attempts over dinner with the same levity she might lend to a story about cute puppies getting into clean laundry. Her raunchy tales stabbed him in the gut, over and over, and gut wounds bled forever. These thoughts discouraged him and spurred him forward at the same time, and with leaden legs he ascended the stairs and joined the party. The decorator living room practically glowed under the light of a gaudy glass droplet chandelier of such dimensions, Trace thought it must have been stolen from some upscale casino. It hung over the room like a cloud of light, blessing every expensive vase, obsidian frame, and polished wood end table with a glorious sheen. A pale, short Berber carpet accented several plush sofas upholstered with soft leather that probably did not come from a cow's back. Or if it did, it was a cow-fed caviar and apricot juice. One entire wall between the living room and the dining area, too big to be just called a dining room, was two panes of thick glass etched with a clock as tall as he was. One could hardly miss the time. 8:53 p.m. He grabbed a foreign beer and downed half of it before joining Teresa as she greeted her girls from the office. After a slate full of empty exchanges with the law firm peasantry, the girls inexorably drifted over to Simon Powell's social circle, as they had every time before. Simon was a young attorney, fresh from Stanford and the West. At least he still looked fresh after 2 years of slavery at Gutra and Hudgens. He had a tan that never faded, and dressed beneath the rest of the party in an untucked white button-down shirt and khaki shorts. Simon always seemed to pose himself as if at a photo shoot for a fashion magazine. His wife, Darcy Powell, stood meekly nearby. Teresa always complained about how jealous she was of Darcy's petite figure, as if her own stunning body was somehow fat and inadequate. This made no sense to Trace whatsoever. Darcy, a California beach blonde, was an outsider to the legal office crowd, a community college English teacher by trade. She wore a fetching red summer dress that tried to radiate an exuberance the wearer clearly didn't feel. Simon pecked Teresa on the cheek, his hand a little too low on her hip. Trace looked away, sipped his beer, and said hello to Darcy. He wondered why she always seemed so shy and diffident. Tonight she almost came off as hollow. Hadn't she married every woman's dream? Done with Teresa, Simon shook Trace's hand, a quick, non-committal grasp. How are the studies coming along, Trace? Teresa still paying that tuition for you? It was a humiliating barb Simon and half the office staff threw out at every party. Trace hated it to the point of strangulation. Teresa, the sugar mama. Teresa, the provider. Trace, the mooch. Studies are great, Trace answered curtly. Uncle Sam's still paying the bills. Teresa folded her arms.
He just got an internship at Softronic Systems doing some programming, or what was it?
A system for collating micro-purchases from credit cards for aggregated submission to the processor, Trace answered, hoping the jargon sounded sufficiently impressive. The legal guys knew big words, and he always felt like a walrus decked out in plate mail at these parties, clunky and slow. Sounds fascinating, Simon replied, eyes communicating a private mirth to Teresa. Trace hit the beer can again. It was nearly gone. Already. How long could expensive foreign beer keep him from doing or saying something he'd regret? Perhaps a domestic would be better. How about you, Darcy? Trace said, shifting the conversation down a different track. Darcy was a normal person. Perhaps she could make him feel normal. How are things going for you at the college? Teresa and Simon turned toward her, and she shifted uncomfortably.
They are going well, I guess. We get more of the disadvantaged and non-traditional students there, and it's been rewarding to work with them.
And believe me, Simon added, they are a motley crew. I went to pick her up from her class one night and thought I had walked into an old Soviet prison. The building has these narrow hallways and low ceilings, and half the roof tiles are missing. I think our firm did an asbestos claim on the place a few years back. But her students, wow. Febreze, anyone?
Teresa giggled and touched his shoulder. You're awful.
Trace was out of beer. I'm going to hunt down another drink, he announced.
Well, don't get lost, dear, Teresa joked, ruffling his light brown hair like he was a 5-year-old. This house is huge.
Darcy wore an odd, pained look as he left. He wondered what was eating at her, and if it was the same monster eating at him. He exhaled and sought serenity in drink selection. Despite Teresa's playful warning, the drinks were conveniently located in the dining area on the other side of the enormous clock, whose spindly hands crawled along at a palsied pace. An assortment of spirits and a variety of ice buckets awaited his choice. But he just stood there, an odd numbness freezing him in place.
He glanced back through the transparent wall. Teresa and Simon were there, talking animatedly about something, while a statuesque Darcy stared into space, eyes glazed over, a hand clutching the elbow of her other arm.
Trace Money! There you are, dude!
This was Dan. Trace had no idea what the guy did at Gutra and Hudgens, but the introduction of alcohol into his bloodstream instantly transformed him into White Boy Slim from the frat house. At least he was friendly, despite his association with Simon. Like his friend, Dan dressed more casually than most, in a t-shirt with a pair of average-looking blue slacks. He had a round, friendly face and dirty blonde hair.
What's up, Dan?
Just checking out the ranch here. First party at Gutra's place since I came on board. Have you seen the theater room? He's got all the major consoles. It's totally killer. Come on, I'll show you. It's got a wet bar and everything. Good stuff, too.
Anything was better than hanging around Simon.
Just for a bit.
Trace glanced back to find the scene with his wife unchanged and followed Dan down a curving staircase to the fanciest theater room he had ever seen. It had pristine white walls with a concave screen and domed roof, all of it professional and looking like not a single butt had planted itself in the brown leather chairs.
Nice. What did I tell you, buddy? Dan said. Ain't no skimping at Gutra's pad. And you gotta see this remote control. I mean, it's like from the future of the future.
We probably shouldn't be messing around down here uninvited. I should get back, Trace said, turning to go.
Dan cut him off.
Hold up there, dude. Just a quick demo. You have got to hear the speakers. Check the bar while I figure this out.
What started as a quick demo turned into a few shots of tequila and a game of Halo. Somewhere in the haze of subwoofer impact and alcohol, it hit him. Wingman. Dan was Simon's wingman. He had cleared him out of the playing field with the greased ease of a professional.
Terror pushed Trace to his feet, and he walked out without a backward glance as Dan tried to reel him back in.
Trace balled his fists. How could he have been so stupid? He arrived at the living room, hoping reality would prove him wrong, but after a quick survey of the surrounding rooms, he found only Darcy out on the deck. She leaned against the rail with her back turned to the house, her face turned toward the lake. Trace's knees felt unhinged. He stepped out behind her and slid the glass door shut. A chorus of crickets and frogs reverberated through the thick, stifling air, mixing with distant voices along the path to the private dock. Trace settled onto the rail beside her. She startled, a shaky hand wiping tears from her eyes and smearing her mascara.
How long? Trace asked as she fought a shaky breath, tears rolling down her face.
She wiped her eyes again.
A little over a month, I think. My housekeeper found them one day and told me. I haven't confronted him yet. I'm sorry, I wanted to tell you earlier, but you know.
A hot shame enveloped Trace, his face burning. He expected the Marine within him to emerge, to find Simon and break his perfect smile and bend his elbows backward. But home and marriage had changed him. Instead of rage, a wilting sadness paralyzed him. He buttoned the top button of his shirt and slid his tie back up to his neck. In agony, he wrung the deck railing, twisting it in his hands as if to squeeze blood out of the iron. His marriage to Teresa had always felt like the fulfillment of some undeserved fantasy. What had it felt like to her?
Where are they? He asked.
The guest bedroom upstairs.
Trace clung to the railing and fought to keep the tequila and cream cheese hors d'oeuvres down. Everyone in the house probably knew and had laughed at him all night long.
Where was the anger? Why was there only exhaustion?
You want to ride home? She asked.
He couldn't see Teresa again. He had to get out. He straightened up and loosed his grip on the iron.
Yes.